Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for giving us a clear testimony to who you are and what you've done in your Son, in your word. And we pray that you would open our hearts afresh now as we turn to it. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do take a seat. Well, this last week, something of a stir has been created amongst the dreaming spires of the city of Oxford. The artist known as A34 has put up a series of street name signs on the sides of centuries-old buildings and walls. Now, the signs are actually 3D paintings, but they look incredibly realistic if you see them on the internet. There's a common theme: Snapchat End, LOL Alley, Hashtag Walk, and if you've not got the idea yet, Facebook Way. The street art is a contemporary commentary on the way that people are fascinated by social media. The signs are then pointers to the potential of electronic networking for good and for harm. Well, sometimes in life, we need to be pointed in the right direction by signs. And as we continue our sermon series on the book of Acts, we find that this is the case with regard to Jesus. Now, as we've been learning from the book of Acts, what is really Luke's Gospel Part 2, we've seen that it contains, as chapter 1 implies, what Jesus continued to do and teach. The book is then better described, perhaps, as the Acts of the risen Jesus by his Holy Spirit through the apostles. Now, we've heard that Jesus, after his saving death and victorious resurrection, has ascended to heaven to rule at God the Father's right hand. And what's more, as we plan to think about, especially next week on Pentecost Sunday, he has sent his Spirit to equip his people to witness for him. Now, we've also seen how all this was God's plan, foretold in the Old Testament. And that having received the word of Christ and the Spirit of Christ, the early Christians illustrated the essentials of church life by learning from the apostles' teaching, sharing their lives, praying together, and offering the good news of Jesus to others. Well, as that first church in Jerusalem was getting going, fulfilling Jesus' command to witness to him, we hear about a remarkable happening in the city. An event which was a powerful sign, clarifying and authenticating who this Jesus really is. If you want to see where we're going, it's on page 1098 of the Black Church Bibles. And we see, first of all, that this amazing miracle happens. Two of the better-known apostles, Peter and John, as part of the regular practice of the Jerusalem church community in its early days, were on their way to the temple for mid-afternoon prayers. We're told it was the ninth hour, roughly 3 o'clock. Now, they encounter a very needy person. Without any health service or benefit safety net, this man, lame from birth, had little option but to beg in a prominent place. Now, he had some people prepared to take him, and they took him to the temple area in the area that's called the Beautiful Gate, where people passed by. Now, when the disabled man saw the two apostles, he did his usual thing and asked them for money. Now, Peter and John gave him their full attention, and they asked for his, which increased the man's sense that he was going to be lucky with these two. But Peter's words to the man have become very famous. Verse 6, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." Now Peter took him by the hand and encouraged him to stand up. And we hear verse 7, "Immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God." It was truly astonishing. This man had been congenitally lame. And for the first time in his life, He could move and leap around unaided. The man must have been overwhelmed. But he realizes somehow who was behind what had happened to him. So we're told that he ran about praising God. Now this guy was clearly well known. Many of the people that there that afternoon in the temple precincts had seen him many times before. It seems he was one of the usual begging suspects. Verse 9. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. A long-term, disabled and destitute man was instantly restored to full health simply by having words spoken to him. It was amazing. Everyone was thinking, excuse me, this is not something that happens every day. What on earth is going on? Well, Peter takes the opportunity to explain. The miracle is a signpost to a unique rescuer. You see, what happened caused quite a commotion. Verse 11. While this once disabled man clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astonished, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And Peter's explanation is vital in understanding why this happened. Verse 12. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people. Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? You see, this miracle has not happened because of the specialness of the people involved, their spiritual abilities or holiness, but rather it has been done by the one that they are trying to make known. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, verse 13. The God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. And verse 16. His name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. So what happened to this man was God's signpost to show how special, indeed unique, Jesus is. Now, having seen this miracle, its message needs to be spelt out, which Peter does. The God of Abraham, Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers glorified his servant Jesus. The God of the Old Testament, the true and living God, has sent his servant, as the prophets foretold, to suffer and die. This long-awaited servant is this Jesus. The one, verse 13, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he had decided to release him. This Jesus who was rejected, with even a murderer preferred to him at his unjust trial, was, verse 14, the holy and righteous one. No less than God, the eternal Son, come to earth to reveal the perfect God. And this Jesus, who was put to death, was, verse 15, the author of life. He is the one who was involved in making the world with God the Father. And though he was put to death on a cross, God raised him from the dead. Something Peter can say of himself and his fellow witnesses and apostles, to this we are witnesses. We saw it happen. We saw him alive. It's quite clear that the people made a shocking mistake in not recognizing who Jesus is. But God brought him back to life, and he is now in heaven ruling. This miracle done in the name of Jesus is no less than a sign making clear that Jesus is the unique saving rescuer sent from heaven. Now, I don't know whether you recognize the similarities between this miracle here in Acts 3 and the one that we read about in Luke 5 of the paralyzed man who was healed and forgiven his sins by Jesus. Jesus, as he encountered this man, showed his love and compassion. But he also wanted to point to his own significance in what he did. So as he healed the man, he pronounced him forgiven. And he explained, chapter 5 of Luke, verse 24, "You may know, this has been done that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." See, here was not just a remarkable happening that showed that God cared. It was a sign. A sign for the people then and a sign for us now, showing the unique importance of this Jesus. Now, as we hear of this amazing miracle in Acts, we are to ask, what do I make of Jesus? How do I recognize who he is? And we're to also think, how can we help others to see how significant he is? Well, you know, a key way to doing that is to encourage people to look at what Jesus did as the Gospels record them. One of the great things about the group sessions Uncover and Christianity Explored that we run from time to time here is that they use the Gospels in order to reveal Jesus. Uncover based on Luke or John, and Christianity Explored on Mark. And as we see here in the book of Acts, we find that Jesus continued to do and teach truth through his apostles. And so again, as we look at what happened then, we can see the importance of Jesus pointed out to us as a sign. Now, it's true, isn't it, that sometimes Christians have read of these sorts of happenings in the Gospels and in Acts, and their first thought has been, we should expect to be able to do the same. Well, God is definitely both powerful and loving and can do remarkable things in answer to prayer. But the main point here is that these sorts of events are extraordinary. They are acted messages that point us to the importance of Jesus. This man, instantly healed in the name of Jesus, returned to perfect health in these early days of the church through the apostles. This event happened so that we are able to hear about it in order to recognize who Jesus is. It is a signpost to Jesus' reality and greatness, what we need him to do for us, and how we need to receive what he offers. Well, in the rest of Peter's speech, he makes clear how we can receive these blessings that God makes possible through Jesus. We must all turn to Jesus and depend on him to receive the good things that God offers. Now, if you've been here in previous weeks, you'll have seen how we've seen several times in the book of Acts that Jesus is the center of God's plans, and God was overruling to work out his plan, even through human beings who made some terrible choices and some dreadful mistakes. Well, Peter tells the people who saw the lame man instantly healed, verse 17, "Brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he thus fulfilled." See, rejecting Jesus was a terrible sin. And the Bible shows that rejecting him is the tendency of all human beings. We have all turned away from God. And so, though we weren't there 2,000 years ago, we all share the guilt of the human race for doing what was no less than murdering our Maker. We're all sinful. We all need forgiveness. And yet, wonderfully, in the plan of God, this same event that was on the one hand terrible and sinful, the killing of the Christ, is also the way that forgiveness can be received. And what human beings need to do in order to receive God's grace and love in Jesus is made clear in verse 19. Peter says, "Repent, therefore, and turn back." See, we must all recognize our sinful hearts and our wrong attitudes to God that work out in so many ways in our lives, and repent. Change our minds about Jesus and who he is, and turn back to God from our old way, our old life. But then there's a promise. Repent, therefore, verse 19, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So if we do come home to God, there is cleansing from our sins through Jesus' death. Our sins are blotted out. They're erased from our record. And God can renew our lives. And this is how we get caught up into God's great plan, which will culminate in Jesus' return to fully bring in God's kingdom, when this broken world will be mended. Turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. And verse 20, that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things. Now yet again, the coming of Jesus, the rescuing Messiah, proves that God's message through his Old Testament prophets centuries before has come true. God foretold his plan based on Jesus. Verse 21, he did that by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken, from Samuel and those who came after him, also proclaimed these days. So not just what David said, as we've seen in earlier parts of the book of Acts, but there's also what was pledged to Abraham and foretold through Moses, Samuel, and indeed all the prophets. So Peter can say to those first hearers, verse 25, you are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your fathers, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. Well, what we see here then is that we don't just have the words of Jesus and the testimony and the predictions of the Old Testament prophets to help us realize who he is, to see what he has come to do and what he offers, but also the miracles of Jesus in the Gospels and the miracles of Jesus done through the apostles here in Acts. These things are signposts to Jesus and his greatness and his importance and his uniqueness. So as we read about this incident this morning, it is meant for us all to ask the question, do I see who Jesus is? Do I recognize the unique significance of the author of life, the holy and righteous one, the Christ or Messiah? We're being shown clearly by what happened all those years ago who he is and what he came to do. And if we're still asking questions about him, and that's fine and a good thing to do, then can I encourage us to look at what Jesus said and did in the Gospels? Indeed, learn about him from what he continued to do in the book of Acts, recognizing what God is pointing to through these signs. But if we're here this morning and we do see who Jesus is, are we rejoicing in what he offers to us? A clean slate, and being part of God's purpose of ultimately restoring the universe through his Son. We might now live in a broken world, but it won't always be like that. And we are taken up into that purpose that will one day be fulfilled. And are we praying for and helping others see these signs that God has provided? Well, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus, the author of life, the holy and righteous one who died and yet was raised again. We thank you that one day you will fulfill your plan in him. So we pray that you would help us to see him with clarity. Give us grace to respond to him as we should and to receive the blessings that are possible in him. And we ask too, Heavenly Father, that you would help us in our lives, in the everyday circumstances that we're in, and together as your church community to be able to point others to this Jesus. And we ask for his sake. Amen.